This is Sportsnet Today with Logan Gordon on your official home of the Flames, Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Rises here at Scotiabank Saddledome. Nazem Kadri leads the way with two goals, including the game winner and an assist. Jonathan Huberdeau gets his first as the Flame. Michael Stone scores another one as the Flames improve to 5-1-0 to start the season. Tonight, they defeat the Penguins 4-1.
Yes, the Calgary Flames keep on rolling to start the season. Last night, 4-1 winners over the Pittsburgh Penguins, and now 5-1 to start this NHL season. Welcome to Sportsnet Today here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. It's Logan Gordon along with you, coming at you live from our Sportsnet 960 downtown studios in beautiful Calgary, Alberta, Canada. And yes, the Calgary Flames are red hot to start the season. Nazem Kadri has fit in like a glove. Jacob Markstrom looks good last night, but the team still says there's more work to do before they feel they're at their best. So what does that look like? What's left for the Flames this week? We'll dive into all of that and more with Pete Labardius coming up in just a few moments. It's also a Wednesday. NFL week kicks off tomorrow. That means we have another edition of Ask Andy with our NFL fantasy football guru, Andy McNamara, coming up just after 2:30 this afternoon. You can start getting your questions in to 960-960, waiver targets, trade targets, start sit advice, whatever you need. We'll get your questions answered with Andy coming up just after 2:30, another edition of Ask Andy. But we'll start to show off like we always do by heading down the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline and welcoming in our Flames insider. He is Pete Labardius, and he's brought to you by the Gemini Group Home Renovations. Your home renovations should be a reflection of who you are. Give your home the Gemini difference. The Gemini Group now offering air miles, reward miles. Visit GeminiGroup.ca. Good afternoon, Lou. How are you, sir?
I am good. Thank you kindly.
Good to hear. Flames now 5-1 after a victory over the Pittsburgh Penguins last night. What did you make of the performance last night from your spot in the color chair?
Well, I loved the first period, and the Flames certainly came out with plenty of vim and vigor. They got to their forecheck game, and special teams, even sometimes, and special teams was a battle that the Flames were very good at again last night. But, Logan, I thought the whole game in the first turned on the Flames' early first power play when they had five shots on goal. They didn't score. They moved it really well. Both units had chances. But I thought that they built a great deal of momentum off of that, were able to get great mileage out of all of their lines, and until a tough shift in the last 45 seconds in which Pittsburgh ended up with four of their six shots on goal. It was 20-2 in that department, and it was all of 20-2. So, love the start. You knew Pittsburgh would probably push back. I didn't expect them to take the game over the way they did in the second, and yet the Flames outscored them despite being outshot 21-4. 2-1, and the reason for that, the goalie. And I thought Jacob was terrific last night, probably his best performance from start to finish as far as his early season play has been concerned. And in the third period, Flames really left very little doubt that they were going to close out the Penguins, who looked like they didn't have much early, found some juice in the second, and looked like they were running a little empty in the third. And in terms of the penalty kill, Flames were terrific again in the two third-period penalty kills when that was Pittsburgh's opportunity to change it. So, Logan, in summation, it's the first time this year that, you know, a lot of games, especially involving teams that are, you know, there's not much separating, comes down to what do you get accomplished when you're clearly better, and what does the other team get accomplished, or, you know, how little water can you take into your boat when the other team's better than you. And to me, that was kind of a poster game for what occurred last night at Scotiabank Saddledome.
Yeah, I can't think of many nights, Lou, where number 87 has come in and not had as much of an impact as he did last night. That's an unusual sight. We're used to much more than that, but I think it speaks to the play of, I think the Michael Backlund line was the one that saw the most of Sidney Crosby and company last night, so he did a tremendous job in limiting those chances, but there were plenty of fans there still wearing the black and yellow of Pittsburgh, excited to see Sidney Crosby, but the Flames did a good job of limiting that. I thought Malkin was probably the best of the Pittsburgh group last night.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. He was certainly the most dangerous, but you know, I'm glad you went down the road with Sidney, and not because of Sidney, but what you alluded to. And, you know, even on our marquee matchup last night in the pregame show, I really thought, you know, these are two teams that are very, very deep down the middle of the ice at center, and which group that had the better center ice play had a really good chance to win the game. And, you know, Flames obviously led by Kadri offensively, and his line was a huge kickstarter again for the group, but the work of Kadri and his line against Crosby and the Backlund line against Crosby in particular went a long way. I love the Flames' top three centermen. I know that, you know, Elias Lindholm is still, you know, fighting it a little bit in terms of production, but he won 17 of 20 face-offs last night. And that, to me, always speaks volumes of engagement and winning some very, very important 50-50 battles. It helps you, obviously, with possession. And so I really, really like the play of the Flames centers led by Kadri, and that's the difference. You know, I'll talk about it all season long is, you know, really when you think about this group, in the past, Logan, and I'll ask you, this was a team that in many ways had to be, in some regards, carried at least up front by one group. Not anymore. Not even close anymore. And that, to me, is what makes the Calgary Flames, I think, their best team that they've had in a long time.
And here is the head coach, Daryl Sutter, quick and to the point on the play of his team down the middle last night, his center ice group.
I think that Michael and Lindy and Naz had strong games.
Yeah, hard to disagree with the coach. He was right up there on it, Lou. And yeah, look, I think it's incredibly important what this team has done and built down the middle, and will only continue to get better as the group continues to gel and continues to find things. The thing for me that, and I know you've talked about this before, Lou, but just the options it gives Daryl.
Yes.
You know, especially we talk about this home stretch. It's a real opportunity for Daryl. And I know he's not big on hard matching, but just the options it gives him and how he wants to run his lines against other teams' best players, that's just not something that can be overlooked in all of this.
No, it sure can't. And when you think about matching up, too, sometimes we make far too much of the forward groups versus the forward groups. Really, it boils down far more to the defensive pairings you get out, Logan, against certain groups. The other part, because, you know, you play in groups of five, and when you're playing really, really well, that's exactly what you're doing. You're getting great contributions from your units of five when it is five on five. But, yeah, there are lots and lots of different options, and it's a team that features guys with, you know, different types of skill sets. So last night, for instance, I don't have the exact breakdown in front of me, but there was a lot of time, not all the time, but Kadri and his group saw the Crosby line in, you know, a number of offensive zone situations, and, you know, the Backlund line did too, but they handled whether it was late in a period, game situational scenarios, defensive zone situations, all those little games, Logan, within the game really, really matter. And I just, with this group, and I don't want to take anything away from even last year's group that had 111 points, this is not an easy team to match up against. And that's going to be really helpful, too, when they finally start playing some road games, which we know there have not been any of those outside of one, and there won't be for four more games before they do hit the road for three.
Chatting with Peter Labardius here on Sportsnet Today. He joins us every single day to kick off the program. He's our Flames insider, brought to you by the Gemini Group. And Lou, the three stars last night, as selected by our pal Pat Steinberg, a reflection of the game, no doubt. The number one star, clear to most after that first period, that Nazem Kadri was on his way to another outstanding performance in Flames colors. He gets his third and fourth goals as members of the Flames, just misses out on a shorthanded goal last night. He was tremendous. You talked about his job for his line against the Crosby line. I thought they put in another great day of work at 5-on-5 with Mangiapane and Dubé. Just continues to be a strong fit for Nazem. And even then, after a great game last night, here he was talking in the Flames locker room last night about understanding that while it's been a great start for him and it's a great start for the group, they're still trying to build off of that and continue to get better, and that's a reflection of the coaching staff.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's just, you know, the perfectionist in the coaching staff, and, you know, just always wanting the guys to be better. And, you know, we want better for ourselves as well. So, you know, we hold ourselves to a high standard in here, and we understand that, you know, it's a roller coaster ride throughout the course of the season, but, you know, it's definitely more enjoyable getting wins.
Really, really good players, Logan, make other people better. And, you know, even though it's only been six games, and for a player that I've been watching since he was a 16-year-old member of the Kitchener Rangers, Nazem Kadri is at a spot now more than ever where his maturity, he's constantly in conversation at the bench, on the ice. I think he is really, really relishing the opportunity at this point of his career to give back and make a big difference for others. And, you know, Dubé and Mangiapane have definitely benefited. The group has benefited. And, you know, to do it coming off, you know, pretty significant injury that really hampered him and forced him to miss a number of Stanley Cup playoff games, to go to a new team and just flat out tell the world that, you know, I'm here, and I'm here to make a big difference, and right now I'm leading the way, and get used to it, because it's probably not going anywhere. So I've been not blown away, but just so, so impressed. And his competitive nature to go along with an excellent, underrated, I believe, skill set has just brought heaps and a certain element to the middle of the ice depth. You call it what you want. Right now he's their best guy. And, you know, when you add a big time free agent and he jumps in and gets it done the way he's getting it done. And I don't really see it going away. Like, he's not going to have a point in every game all year. That's one of the most unbelievable records in the NHL for me, and Wayne Gretzky holds a ton of them. He had points in 51 games in a row, so he has many records. I don't think that's going to be challenged by Mr. Kadri, but boy, oh boy, what a pleasure he has been to watch and what a difference he's made for his new team.
Yeah, and that's an interesting point. I'd like to dive into a little bit more with you there, Lou, because when I hear you say that, you know, you can see him continuing it. I can, too, because every game that I've watched this year, and you and me have been in the building for most of them and seen it with our own two eyes, nothing from Naz in all of this has been unsustainable in my mind. Like, he's not doing anything. It's not like his shooting percentage is bursting through the roof. It's not like he's, had, you know, one incredible game that's, you know, padded the stat line. It was 14:53 last night. Like, he was over 23 minutes of ice time and stacked 5 minutes on the power play or anything like that. There's just nothing here that's been out of the ordinary. Like, that could be a very typical stat line for December or January hockey for Nazem Kadri as much as anything. And that, to me, is what makes me confident that this kind of play can continue, because nothing here, to me, has been out of the ordinary or, I guess, extraordinary in the circumstances that it's not repeatable.
But isn't that what great players do?
100%.
Great players just put a consistent quality performance on the table, you know, nearly every single night. It's not going to be their best every single night. It's not possible over 82. But, you know, the best players, the difference, Logan, is there's not a lot of fluctuation. Some are going to be better than others, and there are going to be the odd tough night where things don't go your way, but it's the body of the work, and it doesn't drop off. You know what you get. And in every single line of work, when you have really talented people who you know what you're going to get day in and day out, that's, you know, that's how you build any kind of successful business or team. It just, it's so, so important. And to have, you know, truly one of your best guys who brings that kind of work and passion to practice every day too, that's it. There's no drop off there. And he's, like I said, he's not going to get points in 82 straight, but he's going to make a difference. I'm going to guess 85% of the games, if not more, or certainly hold up his end of the bargain.
Yeah, Nazem Kadri just continues to impress during his early part of his Flames tenure. He has 2 goals last night, obviously one of them the game winner in the win over Pittsburgh. Wanted to move on to a guy that we talked about yesterday and has been at the forefront of a lot of conversation for Flames fans, and that's been Jacob Markstrom. I thought as solid a 60-minute effort from Jacob as we've seen all season long, Lou. The first period was key. Again, we had more of those moments from the Flames where, and I talk about this all the time, I think it's incredibly important to have a goaltender that's mentally strong behind this group, because when they're playing well, Lou, you're not seeing a lot of chances if you're Jacob Markstrom, but when you do see them, you have to stop them. You have to be that backbone for the team, even if it is only 2 or 3 chances a period and the majority of play is in the opposition end. You have to have that guy back there who can give you those saves when you need them. And then, oh, by the way, he can just go out and have, you know, a tremendous second period when your team isn't playing well. And to me, that all goes back down to that conversation you've had, and I love the term that you use it, Lou, what you get done when you're playing well and, you know, what you prevent when you're not playing well. That, all of that, to me, comes back to Jacob Markstrom.
Well, it certainly does a lot of nights, and it was absolutely 100% the case last night. And, you know, they needed him to be at his absolute best in a second period where they gave up way more chances than they wanted to and 21 shots on goal. And he only gave up one and, you know, made a pretty darn good save on the original shot on the power play, a 3-on-2 rush. And his rebound control wasn't terrible by any stretch. He just, you know, Evgeny Malkin was in absolutely the right spot to deposit the puck past him for the Penguins' only goal of the night.
Yeah, and don't think Jeff Carter wasn't looking for that play either.
Well, you know, I don't know. When you're talking about those kind of guys, it's funny, though, that you say that, just interject. Because remember, the Flames had a great shorthanded 2-on-1 chance
right before it, yeah.
Backlund and Lindholm, and that's why they ended up getting trapped, and that's what led to a 3-on-2. I do think in that case, Michael was shooting for a rebound for Elias. It just went by him.
No, I don't disagree. I think that was exactly what happened. moments before, and then as soon as I saw it happen, I thought, maybe Jeff Carter didn't just see exactly what happened there and thought, I might try that myself. Maybe that's not what he was going for at all, but funny how it works out like that.
Well, it absolutely, but, you know, the game really swung momentum-wise after that goal, and Markstrom was at his best. And I asked Jacob probably 3 weeks ago in the Flames dressing room just about the evolution of, you know, going from a team in Vancouver where he faced 30-plus the majority of his time, even, you know, his best time, to coming to Calgary and under the guidance of Daryl Sutter, where, you know, when the Flames are playing the way they really, really want to play, a lot of nights those numbers are down, you know, between 22 and 25. So he admitted that absolutely has been an adjustment. I think even in his, you know, even in Daryl's first half season when he took over, I think that was tough for Jacob in the back half of that year, but he has certainly more than adjusted to that ever since.
And here is the Flames goaltender post-game last night, and a trend that I've quickly picked up on in the Flames locker room when we talked to Jacob Blue is it's not very often about his own performance. It's the group and how the team performed, and that's the direction that Jacob steered this question when he was asked about, you know, his performance last night, how it felt. Yeah, you know, part of it was him, but part of it was also how he liked the group in front of him.
Yeah, obviously I thought we came out really good, and, you know, they didn't have much at all. And throughout, you know, penalty kill, great again. Obviously they got one there when we had the chance in our end and to turn it on us, and when they got the goal there. But, you know, other than that, I thought, you know, a really good game for our club.
That's really, though, what I like maybe more than anything about Jacob Markstrom. I mean, his play most nights speaks for itself, but I felt almost from day one, Logan, that he's one of the glue guys. He's one of the leaders on this hockey team. I've always believed that. I've never heard anything but that. He has spectacular work ethic and preparation. So I say this all the time. I felt almost since day one that they're just lucky to have him. And is it going to go great every single night? No. It's the hardest position in the sport to play, and it's very meaningful, and, you know, certainly in a lot of markets, including this one, it's scrutinized at an incredibly high level. But he's the right guy for the job, and there's absolutely no doubt about that in my mind.
Last one for you before we let you go this afternoon. We won't have a game day to talk about until Friday when we get set to look
Saturday.
At the oh, yeah, I know, but you
yeah,
mean
I,
Friday.
I know where you're going. Yep.
Yeah, we'll chat about a game Saturday, but a weird part of the schedule that I know the players and the coaches don't love as much. They'd like to get into a rhythm right now. That's something we've talked about. It's an interesting stretch here. Now 3 days off for the Flames from games. They'll play Saturday at home against Edmonton, the Battle of Alberta. That'll be great. But then another 2 days off before they see Seattle on November 1st. What do you make of this stretch? And I guess I don't know if it's – do you feel it's one of those things where it comes at a bad time for this group when you're 5-1 and playing some good hockey?
Well, I look at it two ways. There's still lots of room for growth in their team game. So I like that part. It doesn't feel to me, you know, like they're in a rhythm that they can't get back or at a level that they can't get back. Is it perfect? No. No. It's no different than, you know, any player in any sport. Your favorite part is you want to play and you want to get in a rhythm, and you'd much rather play than practice. And, you know, practice is nice, and there's going to be lots of time, you know, after next week where the coaching staff is going to go, we went from having all kinds of practice time to now we can't find any with the schedule and the mandated 4 days off a month. Nothing you can do about it. I didn't like the schedule from the get-go as far as playing 90 or first 10 at home.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's starting to pay dividends because you've already put 10 of 12 points and you've only lost once at home in the bank. All you can do is the best that you can do. So now you want to talk about their next opponent. Which would you rather be? And I don't know what the answer is. Edmonton is in St. Louis tonight. All of a sudden, you know, they played the Blues twice in less than a week. They go to Chicago tomorrow, and then we'll have a, you know, 4-hour flight whenever they make that decision to come to Calgary on Friday or after the game in Chicago on Thursday, and then, you know, play the big Saturday night against their arch rival Saturday. So would you rather have a few days off or 3 and 4 on the road? That might be tie goes to the runner, my friend.
Yeah, might be for sure.
So, you know, at the end of the day, I guess it's a long-winded way of saying it's never perfect, and you play them and you don't get to decide sometimes the preparation in terms of how you'd love it. But in a perfect world, that's why coaches and players, you know, it's so intense and it's so hard on the body. People like that playoff-type schedule. And remember, there was, I think it was 2 or 3 years ago, Flames had like a 6-week stretch where they played literally every second day.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I'd have to say about this little mini-break.
Yeah. Well, it'll give us a chance to dive into a couple different Flames topics, and hey, maybe even over the next couple days we'll take a look at some of our favorite topics from around the league we haven't done.
Yes, that would be a nice little change.
Yeah,
sure.
we'll do that over the next couple of days. Appreciate the time, as always, Peter. Enjoy your afternoon, hey?
Yeah, you too. Bye-bye.
There you go. Peter Labardius joining us, as he always does, to kick off the program here on Sportsnet today. He is our Flames insider, and he is brought to you by the Gemini Group Home Renovations. Your home renovation should be a reflection of who you are. Give your home the Gemini difference. The Gemini Group, now offering Air Miles Reward Miles. Visit GeminiGroup.ca. We'll take a break, come back on the other side. We'll shift the focus away from hockey and over to football. We have a trade in the NFL that we'll get to around the corner that I want to tell you about. Plus, Andy McNamara joins us. Our NFL fantasy football guru is coming up next. That means Ask Andy is just minutes away. If you've got fantasy football questions for Andy, make sure to get them in at 960-960. Do you need waiver advice? Are you looking to pick up somebody in the free agent pool? Start, sit advice, trade advice, anything that you need, we can get to it as we have a little bit of fantasy football talk coming up next here on Sportsnet 960, The Fan. Might actually have a good Thursday nighter on our hands. Then again, I don't know that I trust Tom Brady and the Bucs as much, but we'll find out tomorrow when the Ravens are in Tampa Bay getting set to take on the Bucs. That'll kick off week 8 action in the NFL, and that means we're getting closer to another week of fantasy football, and that means there's only one person that we want to talk to down the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline to get you set. Waiver advice, trade advice, storylines across the league. We go down the hotline and chat with our pal Andy McNamara on this Wednesday afternoon. Good afternoon, Andy. How are you, pal?
Logan, good, brother. How are you?
I'm doing good, man. Thanks for doing this. As always, enjoy our chats. And before we get going, of course, I did want to mention, I said it before the break, there was a trade in the NFL this afternoon. Robert Quinn officially on his way to the Philadelphia Eagles in exchange for a 4th-round draft pick. So I guess that win on Monday night over the Patriots didn't change the Bears' outlook on their season. Just, I guess, in general, Andy, not even fantasy football-wise in all of this, but how impressed have you been with the Eagles, and now that it looks like they're loading up as a team that's already undefeated on the season?
Man, it's super impressive, and it's the steps forward I was hoping that Jalen Hurts would take, because I'm pretty sure I was on talking about Jalen Hurts with you guys before he was even drafted. And I said, look, this guy is not getting the credit as a passer of the football. He ran in college around, so he was getting lumped in with just a run-first quarterback. No. And he's developed, and he's been brought along slowly. Not to the same, and I'll use a Josh Allen comparison, not the same degree or arm talent. Don't get me wrong there. However, in the same vein that Brian Daboll and the Buffalo Bills brought Josh Allen along, bit by bit, and you see progression each step of the way, pre-draft, post-draft, exhibition, rookie, and on and on. And we keep seeing Jalen Hurts getting better. And this is a proven year to say, hey, are you the franchise quarterback? And from what I'm seeing, the answer is yes. And you've surrounded him with such talent. And now you add a Robert Quinn to an already really good defense, especially in the secondary.
Mm-hmm.
And then you beef up that front seven. I think the Eagles are as real of a deal in the NFC as you can get. The question when the playoffs go and start, of course, is just going to be, okay, with a young quarterback, how does that look come the postseason? But right now, I'm buying the Eagles.
Yeah, you bring up my favorite point, and that's surrounding your quarterbacks with talent. I can't stand it, Andy. It's a pet peeve of mine when I hear, oh, Daniel Jones is a bust or Justin Fields is a bust. I can't honestly say that. And look, have there been down spots for both those guys and plenty of young quarterbacks? Sure, absolutely. But who's been Justin Fields' best receiver in Chicago mm-hmm. since he's been a starter? Allen Robinson, who's, you know, a pretty clear two, maybe three in L.A., depending on the things. Daniel Jones, I mean, Kadarius Toney's probably been the best, most talented receiver he's got. He hasn't even played a snap this season. I love what the Eagles have done. Because, yes, it's one thing to have the talent, Andy, but if you don't put an A.J. Brown around him or a Devonta Smith, then you can't sit there and wonder why these guys didn't succeed.
Yeah, or and a Dallas Goedert, right? You
yes.
have that sure-handed receiver. Like, look at the pieces that they were able to do. And a backfield, while maybe not the sexiest when it comes to fantasy football, still a very good real-life backfield medley that you can now draw on and say, okay, because think about it, if you're an opposing defense with the versatility that Jalen Hurts now has with his ever-improving throwing as well. Now, it's okay. Is he going to hand it off to one of the three backs who each have their own talents? Is he going to run it himself? Is he going to throw it? You just have a plethora of things going on. If you're a defense, you don't know which side it's going to come from, and that's why I think it makes the Eagles so dangerous, and you couple that with their defense, and I think they handily win the Battle of Pennsylvania this week. I believe 11-point favorites on the DraftKings Sportsbook there, Logan. So I'm, I'm never a fan of double-digit ones, but I'm kind of buying that one.
For sure. Let's get to some of the latest fantasy football storylines across the league, Andy. We will get to Ask Andy in just a couple moments. I already see your text on the text line, listeners, 960-960, but there's still an opportunity to get your questions in to Andy with Ask Andy coming up in just a couple moments. So if you need waiver advice, looking to pick somebody off the free agent pool, start sit advice, trades, anything like that, send it in to 960-960. Andy, let's start with the news of the day, and that appears to be the running back situation for the Dallas Cowboys. Zeke Elliott, not a participant at practice today, tells reporters that he is dealing with a sprained knee, and his status looks doubtful for Sunday. That would obviously put a shine on anybody that owns Tony Pollard in a matchup against the Bears.
Oh, yeah, you'd have to spike up Tony Pollard. And really, depending, because Zeke has played through injuries in the past, but depending on how the health and notes out of practice trend, even if he does suit up, you could see a heavier workload towards Tony Pollard. So if you got him on your bench, you want to have him in. At the very least, a flex, you want to have him in there. And what I would do as well is, like, this is what I like to do, Logan. If I'm looking, I'm thinking, okay, I'm going to play some DraftKings contest, and I see something like that sort of floating, I'm going to jump in and put a Sunday contest in now with Tony Pollard at the cheaper DK salary, then wait until that news comes out that he's not going to play, and then the DraftKings salary goes up, right? So that's another kind of sort of savvy DFS, but get in early on that, because Tony Pollard, it seems in some capacity, is going to have a bigger role than maybe he would if Zeke is 100%.
What are you doing with that running back situation in New York? It's a disappointing end of the season for Breece Hall, who is looking like an absolute monster for the Jets.
Yeah.
Michael Carter has probably been a popular stash around the league. We weren't sure what his usage was going to be, but the Jets complicate things bringing in James Robinson. Let's start with the Jets side of things here, Andy. Where do you see that running back situation going? Do you put any trust in either of those guys going forward?
Boy, I really like James Robinson coming into the year, and really just because of what he's been able to do, that nice sort of undrafted story guy. It sort of feels like he's going maybe the Philip Lindsay route, which I still didn't understand why he sort of got outcast after his great rookie season. Didn't really make a whole lot of sense to me. But now, nice move by the Jets. You know, you had a very good back. But, yeah, you're right. It muddies it up. What does this mean for that whole situation? I think it, for me, it really depends on, okay, what type of league are you in? And if it's PPR, Michael Carter still jumps off the page to me as, at least for this week, the main guy. James Robinson is going to be worked into the playbook and all that. And, you know, for you can still work in some design plays type of thing for these guys. But what concerns me for James Robinson is that his yards per carry has gone down. Now, especially beginning of the year, now it's popped back up a little bit. He's just over 4, but still lower on his career average. And I think Michael Carter is probably the better play. But you know what, the Jets, right? It can be a little unpredictable. Mm-hmm. So I think you go with Michael Carter and then see how James Robinson feels in.
What does that do in your mind on the other side of that trade, Andy, for Travis Etienne owners? Is that good news for them?
Yeah. This really, because in fantasy football, what do you want? You want defined, right? You want definition. You want defined depth chart. Okay. With Robinson and Etienne, they were almost completely equally splitting time, right? It was depending who got more yards, who got whatever. But if you look at the touches and snap count, they were both getting very similar. So now you go from Robinson and Etienne to Etienne, and who's the next guy? Jermichael Hasty, who was an afterthought in San Francisco, and Snoop Connor. Well, I'll be honest, Logan, I don't know who that is, and I'm not too interested in him right now. Prove me wrong, Snoop. Prove me wrong. But Etienne is the guy now. Hasty is another stash. So now we up sort of the handcuff thing, because Hasty, in a couple of spots over the last couple of years, when given the opportunity, has flashed. Do not put him in your lineup this week. But if you can, if you got a little room and you can get him and stash him, might not be a bad hold.
I know a lot of people are in this situation, and I know some people in the text line have already asked about it. We'll get into some more specific scenarios when we get into Ask Andy. But what do you do right now if you're an Aaron Rodgers or a Tom Brady fantasy owner, Andy?
Boy, man. That's tough. Listen, I'm an Aaron Rodgers owner of one of my leagues. I'm hello? What's happening here? What's going on? I just cannot believe that Devontae Adams departure. And I know it's not all that, but that Devontae Adams departure has just seemed to completely befuddle this Packers offense. They don't know what to do. They don't know what's up or down. And you have Aaron Rodgers having not eclipsed 18 fantasy points, less than 18 fantasy points in every single week. Disgusting. And now you got the Buffalo Bills coming up. So here's the question. Okay, my it comes down to everything, Logan. We talk about it all the time. If you're dropping Aaron Rodgers, who are you getting? You're going to go get yourself some Cowboy Sam Ellinger with the Colts? Feel froggy there with Matt Ryan on the bench with that O-line? No. Who are you getting? You're not getting my guy Jacoby Brissett. You don't want that situation. So if you don't have Aaron Rodgers and you don't want Tom Brady, then who? I still am going to bet on talent emerging at some point. And if somebody else comes out of the woodwork and really flashes, you know, Jameis Winston is still on the sideline, but he's been noticed to come back. Andy Dalton went off last week, people getting a little too excited, I think, about that. I just don't think there's really a viable option to say, okay, I am dropping Rodgers and I'm going with this guy. You know, you'll get Jared Goff and Jimmy Garoppolo types, right? You're going to get 15 fantasy points, maybe 17 on a good day. Is that worth the risk? Right now, I don't think so.
Last one before we get to Ask Andy, just a couple seconds here. If you're a Kenneth Walker owner right now, you've got to be feeling pretty good. This guy has league winner written all over him, Andy. He torched my Chargers. That's back-to-back games where he's looked impressive. This guy is proving a lot of people wrong. He maybe should have been the first running back drafted this year. He is looks like he's been unbelievable in Seattle, and the way that their game scripts kind of go, it looks like that's a good fit there for fantasy owners.
Oh, my. Just sensational. Just sensational. Absolutely. I got him. I spent $17 and I got Kenneth Walker in one of my leagues. I'm very pleased. I'm very pleased with that. Yeah. It's a great pickup. It's a great play. This Seattle team is so interesting just with how they're operating. They're just loose. Because, like Geno Smith has nothing to lose. He has nothing to lose.
No.
Plays bad, oh, well, he wasn't going to play anyway. Plays good, cool. Extend his career another year. Right? And now you work in Kenneth Walker. Now, interestingly enough, I will say this. You speak of the Seahawks and Kenneth Walker, how good he is. The hottest wide receiver pickup, and if he's still there on your waiver wire, go get him. Marquise Goodwin with Ty Lockett with a banged-up hammy and DK Metcalf. He's at practice, but looks like he probably won't play or shouldn't. As soon as Metcalf went down, Geno Smith went right to Marquise Goodwin in a big way. That is, especially for bye week help, Marquise Goodwin, that's one of the top fantasy pickups this week.
All right, they got plenty of text to get to. Questions ready to answer. It's time for another edition of Ask Andy.
You've got fantasy questions. He has fantasy answers. Helping you week by week in the leagues you love. It's time for Ask Andy on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
All right, Ask Andy at 960-960 on the fan feedback line. If you have questions that you want Andy to answer, now is the time to get them in. Waiver questions, stash questions, anything that you have fantasy football wise, start sit suggestions. We got it all for you here on another edition of Ask Andy. Ready to go, Andy?
Let's do it.
All right, let's do it, pal. Andy, full PPR, pick one, St. Brown, Hubbard, or Myers?
I'm taking a monitor, St. Brown, and reports coming out today. The Detroit Lions, by the way, denied that it was a concussion at all. They said it wasn't a concussion he had last week, but he showed signs of something in the league protocol because they're all freaked out over the Tua twitchy finger stuff that now they're being extra cautious, which is probably a good thing. But Amon-Ra St. Brown is expected to be a full participant, so don't be afraid of the Q beside his name. If that guy's playing, I'm having him in my lineup over just about anybody.
I like these when we get a little bit deeper in. This is a keeper league question, Andy. Rob in Warman, Saskatchewan's curious if he should trade Dalton Schultz, who he used a third-round pick on this year, and keep Pat Freiermuth, who he got in the 11th round this year, to keep into next season.
Interesting. I love the talent more of Schultz with the quarterback situation, right? So, like, Freiermuth, he's been good in spots. You know, I had 15.5 fantasy points last week. But the quarterback situation is still so much in flux. I don't think anyone's too excited about Kenny Pickett in Pittsburgh. Mitch Trubisky, same. Whereas Dalton Schultz, when healthy, with Dak Prescott in Dallas, great. Been a top five tight end. Now he's been banged up, so this year it hasn't been too great so far, but he's getting healthier each week. Dak's getting healthier each week, so I would say hold on to Dalton Schultz.
This is a trade proposal. Obviously, these are always difficult when we don't know what the rest of the roster looks like, but give me your opinions on this texter asking if they would trade, if you would trade DeAndre Hopkins in an effort to pick up Leonard Fournette.
Interesting. You know what? And again, not knowing the rest of the roster makeup, et cetera, I probably would, because although bad week overall for the Buccaneers and really, you know, most of the season, Fournette's been steadier as a higher-end RB2 than I was anticipating. DeAndre Hopkins, we know, can have elite talent, but I always say it is much easier to find a wide receiver that can produce than a running back that can produce consistently. So I would, not knowing any of the other roster situation, I would make that deal.
Two quick ones for you, Andy. Dalton or Brady at quarterback, and Pierce or Duvernay at flex?
Like Damian Pierce?
Yes.
Oh, Damian Pierce. Absolutely. I'm stumbling over myself. Damian Pierce, of course. Yes.
Yeah.
That's the only interesting thing on Houston. The guy's been an absolute stud. The more interesting question is Brady or Andy Dalton.
Tom Brady.
Yeah. If we're asking this question, it's time to go crawl back to Giselle and hope for the best, right? Like, man, here's the thing. People are getting excited over Andy Dalton's almost 30 fantasy points last week. Four touchdowns. Remember, he had three interceptions as well. Previous to that, he had under 14 fantasy points. You're playing Vegas, though. Here's the enticing part. You're playing Vegas, who has allowed the most fantasy points to quarterbacks, 11th most wide receivers, terrible pass defense. You know what? I think I'm going to talk myself into Andy Dalton for this week only. I don't like it, but I think we might be there.
My buddy Mitch taking advantage of our friendship and sending in a question for you. He's a Kyle Pitts victim so Ooh. Far this season. Any names on the waiver wire that you should look out for if you're like my friend Mitch and stuck with Kyle Pitts underperforming right now? Any names up there that you like, Andy?
For tight end, I guarantee you are not finding anybody even close to the talent of Kyle Pitts. There is still, I think, a good likelihood he, just talent alone, he'll produce for you at some point. That's the problem with the tight end position, Logan.
Yeah.
If you don't get Travis Kelce or Mark Andrews, if you don't get those guys, you're chasing your tail to a certain degree. Then you got the next tier. I like Dalton Schultz. If he wasn't injured, that would have been fine. Dallas Goedert, you know, as well. But you're really stuck in that situation. The hottest ad on tight end this week off of waivers has been Greg Dulcich of the Broncos. Again, this is how lean that tight end position is. People are getting excited over somebody who hit, 12 fantasy points in back-to-back weeks. You know, you're playing Jacksonville. Like, I guess Dulcich, I would not drop Kyle Pitts. If you can drop somebody else and pick up Greg Dulcich, sure. But again, how excited are you going to get over 10, 11 fantasy points? Outside of that, though, man, like Will Dissly, he always gets like two catches, and if he doesn't have a touchdown, you're getting two catches. Robert Tonyan's not doing much.
Yeah.
There's just not a lot of options there. So if you can't get Dulcich, you're just going to have to ride out with Pitts.
Let me go back to this one here. I wondered why it was so easy a decision there, Pierce or Duvernay, when we asked that flex one. Texter came in and said, sorry, I need to clarify, Alex Pierce or Duvernay in that flex spot.
Oh, okay. See, that makes...
Makes
okay,
a lot more sense, yeah, and I appreciate that texter coming back with that.
Yes, we appreciate it. Absolutely, we do appreciate it. So here's the trick. I like Alec Pierce. I like him. Here's the problem. Matt Ryan banished. Like, Logan, they're not just like, we're going to see what happens. They're like, you're done.
See you
you're
later.
Done, buddy. Go do more Tide commercials. Get out of here. He's done. But they bring in Sam Ellen. Like, we're not talking about a first-round pick. You're talking about a sixth-round 2021 draft pick who ran a bit in college and people are getting excited about. He's 6'1", like, behind a terrible pass protection offensive line. It's not interesting. I would say you go Devin Duvernay. He's been quietly much better than he probably should have been, but the last 2 weeks, I think he's come right back down to earth with single-digit fantasy points. Against Tampa Bay, I think you go with Duvernay because at least you know what to expect out of the quarterback. I don't think we should get our hopes close to anything for six-round Sam Ellinger.
All right, Randy, let's do a little bit of rapid fire here to get some questions in. Lots of start-sit ones, some different options on bye weeks. Let's go quick through some of these. Would you trade Kamara for Etienne right now?
No.
Standard format, give me two of these three names. Tyler Allgeier, Melvin Gordon, Kareem Hunt. Gross.
Totally gross. Allgeier, let's get over this. He had one good game against my Browns and a fluke half start. Come on. No, I'm not interested. And who is, I know Kareem Hunt. I'm not playing Kareem Hunt right now. The usage has been going down the last couple of games. People think he might be being saved for a trade because he has an expiring contract. So, I think Kareem Hunt could go off at any time, but I don't love it. So that leaves Melvin Gordon. I don't really like that either, but if I have to choose.
Would you bench Tom Brady for the Thursday night or backup options Cousins and Geno? I'm personally benching Brady this week for Geno in one of my leagues, Andy.
Yep. I especially Thursday night, we've seen how weird these games are, and just Tom Brady is playing terrible. I would for sure, and I would play. I'm giving the edge to Kirk Cousins this week against Arizona. I think that could be a fun little shootout. So yes, I would go Cousins, but if I didn't have Cousins, I would still go Geno over Tom Brady this week.
Full PPR Superflex, keep two, drop one. Goff, Lawrence, Stafford.
Drop Lawrence.
Bye week quarterback situation. Am I starting Dalton or Mariota?
Ooh, boy. See, Mariota, I liked what he was doing up until, like, last week it wasn't great. You know what? I'm going to say Mariota. The leg, the rushing was there. He took a little bit of a step back, but the previous 2 weeks, we saw that trend going up, and he hasn't thrown an interception in 3 weeks. I think Marcus Mariota against that bad Carolina defense.
Another quarterback question, maybe even another Mahomes one. Stafford or Daniel Jones this week?
I'm going to say Daniel Jones. He always gives you that bit of an option with the legs. Matt Stafford, as we know, statuesque. He doesn't throw four touchdowns. It's not going to be a good day. He's not getting you anything else. So go with Daniel Jones.
Two quick ones for you. Hurst or Waller? I know Waller's been dealing with some injury problems.
Yeah. If Waller's playing, go with Waller. If it's questionable still, like it looks like it might be, then you know, you got to go with Hurst.
Michael Pittman or Marquise Goodwin?
Marquise Goodwin. Nothing against Pittman, but again, I would still trust Matt Ryan over Sam Ehlinger. Until we see. Maybe the kid comes out and slings it. I don't know, but I don't think he's going to. So I'm not trusting anybody not named Jonathan Taylor, and even he I have a hesitation on the Colts.
Andy, you're the best, man. Always appreciate the time. Good luck this weekend in all your matchups. And if you have any questions for Andy that we didn't get to, Andy's always kind enough to give you a hand on Twitter. You can follow him at AndyMC81. Get your fantasy football questions in there. Just make sure you use the hashtag AskAndy. Thanks, pal. We'll do this again next week, hey?
All right, brother. Talk to you later.
Take care. Andy McNamara joining us down the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline. Always does so to get you set for the fantasy football week to come. Starts off with a Thursday nighter tomorrow with the Baltimore Ravens and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. That's it for me today. That's it for Sportsnet today. Thank you for listening. Thank you for texting in. Always appreciate the feedback. Thank you to Cam and Taylor, our wonderful operators on this Wednesday afternoon. Hockey PDOcast with Dmitry Filipovich is coming up next. Flames Talk with Pat Steinberg starts at 4 here on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.